Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's wrestling news, Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki kick each other's heads in.
A big dog shoots on a chick magnet.
We've got an update on the King of the Ring, Queen's Crown and Crown Jewel card.
And Amanda Huber is all elite.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things wrestling news. But before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories, and links to all of the stories are in the description. Click those little timestamps and off you go. But first up, AEW Rampage buy-in on YouTube. It was Bryan Danielson versus Minoru Suzuki, almost. And it was bloody brilliant. You could tell at the beginning of this, I absolutely loved it. Like, Bryan was kind of really finding it hard not to smile for all this. He was having the time of his life when he first squared up to Minoru Suzuki, and it's like, this is what I wanted for so long. And it was absolutely fantastic right from the get-go. Like, immediately get into, like, a chop, kick, hit battle where Minoru Suzuki's chopping Daniel Bryan and he just decides to like kick him back, and then the moment Minoru Suzuki hits him with that first big forearm to the head and Daniel Bryan goes down like he's been shot in the face and just sells it like crazy, and it just makes you think of all of the head issues that he's had in the past, and then that kind of informs every shot in the match from that point onwards. Absolutely fantastic way to start it, and from there it just got more violent, if anything. Everything just changed. It got more intense and quicker, and they were like just desperately trying to rip each other's limbs off as much as they can and punch each other in the face. And it just built and it built and it built to this finish, which was just one of the best finishes I've seen in ages. It was like one of the hardest hitting, like, yay, boo segments that I'd ever seen. And the crowd was so hot and so into it, really, really behind Bryan Danielson, just loving every moment of it. And the punches just got harder and harder and faster and faster. And then both guys were screaming at the crowd to get them into an absolute frenzy. And then sort of Bryan ran at Suzuki, and then like he ducked the clothesline, and Suzuki spun it round into a sleeper, and then Bryan got out of that, and then he spun that round into another sleeper, and then Bryan reversed that to try and get it down into the label lock, but then Suzuki reversed that into like the Gotch style pile driver thing, but then Bryan flipped him out of that, and then there's another reversal, and then they kind of run at each other and like duck the clotheslines a couple of times and just get faster and faster and faster and running off the ropes until Bryan hits one of the most explosive knees he's ever hit and right into the face of Minoru Suzuki. Pins him 1-2-3. An incredible match. If you haven't seen it, it is on AEW's YouTube channel. I highly suggest you go check it out because it's just two dudes kicking the crap out of each other and loving every minute of it.
And it's one of those, it's again just a completely different flavor of match to what Bryan Danielson did with Kenny Omega. Like, everyone's raving about this match is like obviously the pressure on Daniel's neck and like just the sheer drama in it, and then seeing this where it was just a slugfest for a lot of it, but then you had the grappling exchanges and the tactical noose to be able to like just transition out of submissions and maneuver themselves towards the ropes, and it was just, it had everything, but it felt completely different to Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson. It's just, it's mind-boggling, and sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, like, on some of the transitions from, like, submissions and things like that, like, they were, like, desperately, A, trying to wrench it in as hard as they possibly could, but B, like, desperately, desperately trying to get out of it, and it made it really, really feel like an absolute battle between the two. Yeah. That, like, if they lock this in, that's it, I'm dead.
It felt like a war, and, like, Every time he went for the cattle mutilation, he had to like take his shoulder off the mat to relieve the pressure. And I thought the commentary team were excellent through this match.
Absolutely. And the way Minoru Suzuki was positioning himself around it, like you can just tell that guy is an absolute ring general, as well as just one of the toughest guys in the world.
And if Danielson's aim here is to prove that he's one of the best in the world still, and he's not missed a step, but he's going the right way about it. Because just doing this, mixing things up like this, you're seeing, we've just seen an absolute master at work. So just enjoy it. Buckle up.
Indeed.
Enjoy this
ride. Because it's not only like a dream match that we've been thinking about for ages of like, oh, what if Daniel Bryan went to New Japan or whatever. It's not just a dream match like that. You can tell it's also a dream match for Bryan himself. And like, you can tell throughout all of this that this is something he's wanted to do for a long, long time.
Easiest to cheer babyface currently going in wrestling. Just that he was an absolute badass at the same time. It's madness. Yeah. Like, it was just fantastic. The crowd were going crazy, and I do not blame him. But speaking of things that make crowds go crazy, right now.
Good.
Thank you very much. It was we had Mr. Roman Reigns just shooting from the hip again on, well, just on the internet and just in interviews and just being the Roman Reigns we know and love at this point. He's great. He was having a conversation with Complex, and it's just blown up the internet, hasn't it? Because he was talking about CM Punk, he's talking about AEW, and he just cannot help himself with this Roman Reigns character. And when talking about the potential of maybe one day taking on CM Punk, this version of CM Punk taking on this version of Roman Reigns, he had this to say. He said, I mean, on a personal level, it doesn't do anything for me. That's not going to elevate me at all. He's older now. I haven't really seen a full match. I've seen a clip or two. And to me, a step or two has been lost. Then also, he got his whooped in the UFC. So he's not really mincing words there, is he, about old CM Punk? And then he just went on to just make things worse, really. He didn't really care about who was going to upset here. And he said, I don't think anybody really believes someone that's 200 pounds soaking wet with no explosive bone in their body could ever really do anything to me. I'm 6'3", 265 pounds, a legitimate athlete who can throw some weight around and has been on the gridiron at the highest level. Division 1, all ACC. I probably would have maintained in the NFL if my health issues didn't happen when I was 22 years old. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'll throw them pretty much all the rest of the roster out the club. No problem. They're just little brothers, you know. I love him. He's great. He's just I don't know, he's setting off a stick of dynamite, I know, pun intended, and throwing it into the middle of the wrestling world and watching the chaos that unfolds after that. But he wasn't done there. He wanted to talk about AEW as well, and when asked about them being seen as competition to WWE at this moment in time, again, he went off. He said, so me, I don't see the real competition with AEW because I think their fan base legitimately is a hardcore fan base. So there's like a ceiling and a built-in ground to that viewership. WWE is trying to connect with everyone. We're trying to connect with the mainstream. We're trying to pull in the casual fan. We're trying to engage the new viewer while also servicing our hardcore fan base and give them compelling stories to fulfill them as well. I don't know if I've said it before, but I've said it before, that's the literal quote. When the audience is probably the biggest character in your show, that's strange to me. There's an awful lot to unpack there, Phil. And I think not least the fact that he said that they're trying to connect with the new viewer when the average age on NXT 2.0 at this current moment in time is 62 years old.
I am a big fan of this. Just absolute troll version of Roman Reigns, not gonna lie. He just said this, and then you could immediately see the internet just pop off, and it's just chuck these words out there and watch them explode all over the fan base. It's really good stuff. But at the same time, he's kind of accidentally shot on himself and the WWE product, especially when you kind of bring the audiences into it. Like, if you start talking about AEW's audience and how, oh, it's ridiculous that they're like one of the biggest characters on the show. Like, you just have to look at the difference between how engaged and into everything AEW crowds are when you compare it to WWE crowds. Like, AEW, you never see the crowds just completely taking over a show and throwing beach balls and chanting, "We are awesome," and things like that. You do on the WWE side because they're a little bit more bored on that side and not quite as engaged in the product that you're delivering.
Just literally watch 2 minutes of Bryan Danielson Suzuki compared to Becky Lynch Sasha Banks last night. That's all I'll do.
A fantastic match.
Really fun match, but just look at the audience difference. It's a different kettle of fish.
Worlds away. But yeah, in terms of just throwing something out there and watching the internet explode, big fan, but maybe you should temper what you say a little bit so you're not actually accidentally shooting on yourself.
I love it though. I love it. It's just Twitter's been a very fun place to be this morning.
Indeed. Good stuff. But yes, moving over back, well, staying on WWE, it was, of course, the supersized SmackDown last night, and they did indeed, obviously, put Becky versus Sasha, and really kind of shoehorned really quickly a contract signing between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar onto the final half hour to go directly up against Rampage, because they're not competition at all, are they? But also on that show was obviously the semi-finals in the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown tournament. So Finn Balor beat Sami Zayn. Of course he did. Didn't see that one coming. And Zelina Vega beat Carmella because of a Liv Morgan distraction, of course. So we do have an updated card now for Crown Jewel. So it's going to be at the tippy top, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, who signed that contract at the end of SmackDown and said, haha, Roman, I've already read this contract back with my advocate, Paul Heyman. Oh, dropping the bomb into that storyline. Big fan. And then we're also going to get the WWE title match, which is going to be Drew McIntyre versus Big E, which is also going to be very good fun, I think. Triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's title, Sasha versus Bianca versus Becky. And if that Sasha versus Becky match is anything to go by, this is going to be fantastic too. I just hope they actually give it time on the Crown Jewel card. That's who knows. Then we're getting the Raw Tag Team titles, AJ Styles and Omos taking on Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. We've got a no-holds-barred match between Bobby Lashley and Bill Goldberg. We've got Hell in a Cell match between Seth Rollins and Edge. We've got the Queen's Crown Tournament Finals, which is going to be Zelina Vega versus either Doudrop or Shayna Baszler. Going to assume Shayna Baszler, although I'm really looking forward to that match on Raw. Not going to lie, if you don't know much about Doudrop, she is actually really, really good at wrestling. Yeah. And then we've got the King of the Ring finals as well, which is going to be Finn Balor versus either Jinder Mahal or hopefully Xavier Woods. And then we've finally got Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali for the full card.
It's certainly shaping up to be a blockbuster card. I mean, personally, I just can't wait for Bill versus Bob in the no holds barred match. That's going to be fun. But it's, yeah, there's something for everyone, really, looking at that card. It's just kind of a shame the circumstances under which it's going down. Like, we could go there, but it's
they often do this with the Saudi shows, though. Like, on paper, they look absolutely incredible shows. Yeah. But then when they deliver it, it's sort of a bit more sort of house show styling level. It's not like WrestleMania matches quality kind of thing. But
there were those conversations about it potentially, like WWE trying to make them mean more going forward and feel more significant and like they have more of an impact on storylines, genuinely going down in WWE. So hopefully that does happen and it actually means something, but we'll just have to wait and see if that's the case.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
But this is quite a nice story, to be fair, that we're going to like round off the stories with today, because It's just the fact that Amanda Huber is now All Elite, and that is enough to brighten anyone's day. It's a lovely, lovely thing AEW have done. And it, just for more information on it, Huber, obviously the widow of Brody Lee, she took to Twitter and she like spoke about the fact that she's now officially a part of the company, and she's going to be working as AEW's community, well, she's going to be working on the AEW's community outreach team. She thanked the AEW president, obviously Tony Khan, she thanked Brandi Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, everybody. Words can't express how happy I am right now. The ability to be a part of AEW and work with the communities is legitimately a dream job. And she just said thank you to everyone. And Cody then tweeted out saying, great day, please welcome Amanda Huber to the community outreach team. Tony Khan has placed her on the best team as we approach each community AEW performs in and makes strides to do good when the cameras are on, and more importantly, when they're off. Welcome, Amanda. And it's just great. I mean, I don't know what else to add to this. It's fantastic that they've just got a place for her now in the company. She's now been fully brought into the AEW family officially. I mean, she already was anyway, just with the way that AEW's handled everything since Brody Lee's unfortunate and just tragic passing. Obviously, they gave a negative one. Brody Jr., he's got a contract already with AEW. He's been performing as a member of the Dark Order. And it's just been a real example, this. I love it. It's just been, obviously, love's probably a strong word, but like, it's an example of what a promotion can do in these situations and how they can go about just handling someone's legacy and their families and everything else in the wake of such a tragedy. I think you've got to tip your cap to AEW. They've done some good stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always really nice to see with the whole Jan Huber thing, and like even like going as far as like CM Punk saying that like specifically the way they have handled this is like one of the big key reasons why he signed there in the first place. Because everything they've done has been absolutely top class and just really, really good stuff. And this is just a further extension of that. And I'm sure she'll be an absolutely great fit in that position in terms of the community outreach, which AEW have done a lot of since they started as well. Like even like little things, like last night I saw Cody, like someone tweeted at him saying that his like cancer was in remission, but like it's always been one of his dreams to like photograph CM Punk or something like that. And Cody was like, yep, you're in, you're like, you've got press access. And it's like just straight stuff in. And it's just like little touches like that, little community outreach things that really make a difference. And it's good to see that they're going to be continuing this down the line.
It's classy, classy touches.
Indeed, good stuff. But we will move over to your Twitter questions. And the first one comes from Wes, who says, I'm all for UFC guys making the jump to wrestling if they can work, but watching Santos out there in a main event, no less, was just cringy. I can't be the only one who feels this way. Thoughts? Thought I'd ask you, Mr. UFC.
Mr. UFC, is that who I am?
I mean, it's all fake, so, you know.
Won't be fake in a minute, Phil.
It's an interesting one because I think the star power of Dos Santos, because he's a former UFC heavyweight champion, everything else that comes with that, it made sense to get him in that position if he was up for doing it, is up for taking the bumps. Cool, put him on there and he gets a lot of eyes on the product. But it was clear that maybe he'd just been told to go in there and throw some Shane McMahon punches, and it was a bit, I don't know, it didn't quite click. It doesn't click for everyone. Like, you look at Cain Velasquez in WWE, it just seemed like he'd had a bit of wrestling training, but not probably to the degree where he could hold up a match for 20 minutes. But then you look at somebody like Ronda Rousey, we saw her progress over a year or so, and she was unbelievable. By the end, she was probably like in the top three in the company in terms of just workers, which is frightening, really, to progress that quickly. So I don't know. It depends how dedicated you are to being a part of the companies and the touring process and just like honing your craft in the wrestling ring. If you're just going there for a quick paycheck, there's nothing wrong with that. People are going to pay you the money to go and do it, but don't expect to see these people putting on a five-star clinic. I don't think that's what they're there for. They're there for the casual watchers who watch UFC and see Junior Dos Santos and go, oh, what's going on here? And they click on and you get a few extra fans pumping into AEW, which is fine, I guess. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, like it obviously sometimes clicks, and there is a lot of crossover there in terms of the athleticism and things like that. And like you look at like Riddle and like say Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler and how like Brock Lesnar and like how effortlessly people have crossed over, but it like looks effortlessly when you see it on TV, but it's really not. And there's a lot of work that they put in behind the scenes and years and years and years of building up to this. And yeah, like you say, if you're just coming in for a quick thing, like, A, it must be really hard when you're used to shoot punching someone in the face as hard as you possibly can to then try and pull that back into a wrestling match. Like, there's going to be a fine line there that you can toe.
Put it this way, Phil. That is. Not everyone can be Bad Bunny. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Not everyone.
This is true. But next question comes from Mark Smith, who says, morning, guys. The only question that needs answering today is, what happened to NXT ups and downs?
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the firing line this morning. What happened? I don't know. It's on fire. It's one of those things where it just wasn't getting as many views as it used to in the past, and we need to obviously make money. This is a business, and like as much as we love just talking about wrestling, I talk about NXT to the cows come home. We can't just be throwing something out there if people aren't as interested as they used to be. It's just the way it is. And if you look at NXT's numbers in general, away from YouTube, it's not making for good watching right now. And unless that starts going in a different direction, it's not really going to make sense for companies like ourselves to cover them as much as we used to, which is just a bit sad because I love NXT ups and downs and I miss it.
It is sad. It is a shame. But yeah, like you say, in the end of the day, we do have to make money from the videos. It is a business. And yeah, the views just weren't there up to where we sort of needed them to be to warrant continuing on the video. But it is something that will be reassessed in the future, and if things change in NXT or if something changes within us, like, we will look at bringing it back at some point. So never say never in this crazy world of wrestling. But for now, yeah, it's crazy how much ups and downs views follows the ratings of the show. Like, if no one's interested in the show, which is NXT, it doesn't have a huge amount of interest in at the minute. Ups and downs ratings also go down. So it might be back at some point, and we will definitely reassess it. Same with Impact as well. Exactly the same situation. So we shall see. Hopefully it comes back at some point.
We may yellow highlight again.
Indeed. And the final question of the day comes from KR21, who says, with Finn Balor advancing to the finals of the King of the Ring crown jewel, and the likelihood of a heel winning the Queen's Crown tournament, what are the chances that we see the demon reappear at Crown Jewel and become the Demon King?
I think it's an interesting one to go down because I don't feel like they've hammered the Demon King moniker specifically like over our heads a lot. Like since the demons returned, I don't think it's been more the demons back. It's not really... There was a time and it was just Demon King, Demon King, Demon King. It was everywhere. Whereas I feel like maybe they've held back on it so they can officially crown him the Demon King. And then Michael Cole will look at the camera and give you about 20 different winks. I think that'll probably happen. I'd like to see that. I mean, they've pulled out the demon in Saudi before. I think they did it against Andrade, maybe. I might be just dreaming that up. But it's something that is a spectacle character. They like pulling out all the stops in Saudi. I think the Saudi fans would adore seeing the demon rise from wherever he rises from now. He comes back to life. It's great to the sound of a heartbeat. So, any excuse to see Finn Balor flail around like a fish, I'm in.
They also do kind of need to rehabilitate the demon character after what happened at the last show.
Hey, it wasn't his fault, man. It was the turnbuckle. He didn't do anything.
And then they just completely forgot about it on TV.
Yeah.
Cool. Personally, I would rather have Xavier Woods win. But if Finn Balor is going to win, I think doing it as the Demon King route would actually be quite an interesting thing to go down the line. Like I say, helps rehabilitate the demon character. And then when he does bring out the demon, it is the Demon King. And maybe it adds an extra layer onto it. But still, Xavier Woods. It's got to be Xavier Woods. Please let it be Xavier Woods. We just need that nice moment. Come on.
And let Xavier Woods just cosplay as the demon. Why not? I can see that.
That would be very entertaining.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I want that. Demon King Xavier Woods. That's what we need.
Book it. It's there. Open goal.
And on that note, let's end the video, I guess. If you want, you can follow us over on Twitter. You can follow me at FillMyChambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
And you can follow all of us at WhatCultureWWE, ups and downs for both SmackDown, supersized SmackDown, I should say, and Rampage are coming later on today. So make sure you check those out with a list at some point as well. And subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories. And most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day.
And go watch Danielson and Suzuki.
Yes, do that. They kick each other really hard.
Good. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.